Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 133 and we're recording on Sunday, August 7th. I am Nasra Javed and I'm here with a very special guest, Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Welcome, Kendra. So excited to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we jump into, you know, our business of murders, mysteries, and all the good stuff, I am sure the listeners would love to hear more about you, what kind of books you love to read, just anything you'd like to share.
Well, I am a contributing editor at Book Riot. I do a lot of audiobook content and a lot of content around disability in literature. And I used to have a podcast called Reading Women, which ran for 6 seasons. And in that, you know, journey through women's literature and literature written by women, I found like Women in Translation Month and all sorts of different cool bookish things as well. So I love, I guess, books written by women and other marginalized genders and a little bit of everything, honestly. Like, I'm very much a mood reader, so I just wander around and pick up what looks good. Most importantly, though, I have two corgis, Dylan and Gwenlian. They are in the other side of the house. Unfortunately, they couldn't join us today, but they're here with us in spirit.
I love that. I love that. That is the most important aspect. So thank you for sharing that.
It really is.
Awesome. So what has your reading preference been lately? What are you currently reading?
Well, I just finished a first week of Women in Translation Month. I've been filming a vlog for it. So I have been loving that. And then on the 8th, so tomorrow, as of this recording, starts the Women in Translation Month readathon, which my friends and I host every year. And it starts over on BookTube. And I'm very excited to start that. There are so many different books that I have on my TBR, so many wonderful things to read. So yeah, I've been really excited about that.
Is this the readathon you do with Matthew and Jen? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yes, yes.
Because I follow it. I follow it very well. Because I love it so much. So yes, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see the vlog and follow what you all have been reading for the Women in Translation Month. I personally love the Women in Translation Month because my first language is not English. My first language is Urdu, Hindi, and like just seeing everyone appreciate works in translation. It's a nice feeling. And it just feels like it's a more holistic, you know, reading experience, that there is more than just one language out there. I don't know. It just feels more representational. So I love this month. I follow very closely, you know, your reading vlogs that you three do and your TBR. So I'm excited for that. I've been reading something very interesting that I want to share with all the listeners. It's A Master of Jinn by P. Jelly Clark. And this book was basically, someone had on Goodreads had reviewed it as Emilia Peabody series meets, I think it meets the, what's the Soulless, the Paracel Proctorate series.
Yes.
And I was basically sold. I was like, okay, I mean, that's all that needed to be done. But then I started reading it. And it's one of those rare books where I'm listening to it on audio, but I cannot decide if I want to experience it in audio or if I want to do it in, you know, ebook where I can read it all the time, or if I want to do it in physical. So it's so immersive and so incredible. And if you haven't heard the book, it's set in, I feel like it's a mix of genres. It's historical fiction, steampunk, alternate universe. But it's also a mystery. It's set in an alternate Cairo, Egypt in 1912. And we follow the story of Fatma al-Shararvi, who was the youngest woman who is working for the Ministry of Alchemy. So, and what happens is when a secret brotherhood dedicated to one of the famous men in history, al-Jahiz, is the whole brotherhood is murdered. Fatma is called onto the case and she basically has to, you know, has a chance to prove herself and basically save this magical system. And it sounded a lot more complicated than it actually is. So I love that. And then this is also work in translation. It is translated by Rebecca Cardenoso. And this is the first in the Dead Jinn universe. So I am loving it. And it's so readable. I'm just, I just had to give it a shout out. So yes,
well, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the audiobook performance is absolutely mind-blowing. So yes, that's what I've been reading. But with that, let us jump into our episode. But before we do all of that, let's take a minute and hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Children of Virtue and Vengeance by Tomi Adeyemi. If you like pretty things, like I like pretty things, I got something for you. The stunning sequel to the worldwide phenomenon Children of Blood and Bone is now available in a deluxe paperback edition with gorgeous spray-painted and stenciled edges and an exclusive excerpt of the earth-shaking Children of Anguish and Anarchy. Now, this is a series for you if you like action, you like world building, you like mythology retellings, lore retellings, specifically of a West African variety, has all that and more. It was also an instant number one New York Times bestseller, a Good Morning America book club pick, and now both Children of Bone and Children of Virtue and Vengeance are available in these deluxe editions. They're pretty, they're gorgeous. The finale to the series is coming June 25th this year, so you can get the pretty editions of the first two books and be ready for the last book. You see what I'm saying? So make sure to check it out, and thanks again to Children of Virtue and Vengeance by Tomi Adeyemi for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by The Dial Press, publishers of The Prospects by KT Hoffman. The pressure cooker of minor league baseball leads to major chemistry in this exhilarating, sexy, and triumphant Rivals to Lovers debut romance. Gene Ionescu is the first openly trans player in professional baseball. He has nearly everything he's ever let himself dream of. That is, until Luis Estrada, Gene's former teammate and current rival, gets traded to the Beavers. Now, Gene and Luis can't manage a civil conversation off the field or a competent play on it, but in the close confines of dugout benches and roadie buses, they begrudgingly rediscover a comfortable rhythm. As the two grow closer, the tension between them turns electric and their chemistry spills past the confines of the stadium. So this is one of the first adult rom-coms published by a major publishing house centering a gay trans man by a gay trans man. It also has ADHD and anxiety representation and some joyful, heartfelt moments. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to The Dial Press, publishers of The Prospects by KT Hoffman, for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So if you are new here, welcome. If you are tuning in, if you have already heard us and you're tuning in, thank you so much for sticking with us. This is the part of the show where we like to put out a call to our listeners to, you know, to get their brain juices flowing in case they have any suggestions for upcoming episodes, in case they want to write to us and tell us, you know, what they want more of. These suggestions really help us plan our episodes, and it's just a great way for us to know what your listeners enjoy and how to give, you know, how to do more of that. So if you have any recommendations, ideas, or if you just want to say hi, shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We'll have all the information at the end of the episode, but and also in the show notes. We just like to put this call ahead of time. And even if you just want to say hi, there's nothing we enjoy more. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review over at Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us. But with that, let's jump into our main discussion, which is translated works of mystery and suspense in honor of Women in Translation Month. So Kendra, tell us, how was it finding works of translation, especially centered around mysteries and thrillers? Is this something you read normally? Was it a, you know, bit of a challenge? How was your journey?
Well, I really love this month because, as you know, English is my first and unfortunately only language. And when I realized that so few books from the rest of the world in other languages were translated into English, I was just horrified. I think there are always these moments where you realize, like, wait, there's a whole slew of books I could be reading, but I can't because they're not in my language. And most of the world reads translated books all of the time. We're just very, we'll just say odd, that's the kindest term in English, that we don't really look for those. So when I found Women in Translation Month, I was just so excited. And so for me, I'm always just looking for more books in translation in any genre. And I do enjoy mysteries and thrillers, particularly since other countries have really robust, you know, mystery and thriller genres that they have a long history of in their literatures. And it's such a wonderful thing to discover and read. And it's just like a whole new world. And I really love that about Women in Translation Month. And so I've recently been looking into like Japanese crime novels and thrillers. So that's been fun. And I also really love genre bending books. So I have one of those today to talk about. But I really love different takes on the genre from other countries in other languages.
I love that. Yes, I agree, especially I feel like with Japanese and like South Asian literature, because it's so different in the sense that I have found in my experience whenever I've read works of translated works of mystery and suspense, they're a lot sharper. And there's always this like, not all of them, but this tone of like dry humor, like their delivery, like the timing of it is very like spot on. The one I'm talking about in particular, this is not, the author is not a woman, but just a Japanese work of translation that I've recently enjoyed is the Detective Kosuke Kindaichi series. They're being, I think there are like over 30 books in Japanese. Wow. And they're slowly being translated by this small press, Pushkin Vertigo. And they're so good. I mean, like the author takes plots, you know, like that Agatha Christie has may have already done in like And Then There Were None or something. And you think there how many ways there are to, you know, take this on. And this author is just like is proving you wrong in every single time because they have so much to contribute. Like the way they reimagine that, like old tales that you think that cannot be redone again. And also another thing that I love about works in translation is how you sort of see issues that may mean like that are in your life through a different spectrum. And like, it's sort of like a recalibration of perspective, like things that might matter to you might not matter to, you know, in other cultures, they have a different priority level. And it's always a good eye opener that, you know, it's not just like this American centric perspective.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that. And it's also sometimes it's comforting, which is an odd thing to say about mysteries and suspense. But it's like how sometimes when you find a book that's like centered in your culture or, you know, reminiscent of that culture, it's always like a balm. You know, like it's nice to read that. It's nice to see that on paper. So, yes. And I see over here you also added a link for womenintranslation.org.
Yes, yes. So this initiative was started by Maytel Rodzinski, and she founded Women in Translation Month. And so there's a whole website. We'll include that in the show notes. And on the website, she has a lot of resources, including recommended reading lists. She keeps up with new releases. But one of the things that I really appreciate is she gives stats for women in translation into English. And so she lists that only 36% of books translated into English are from non-European countries, and less than 31% of translations into English are written by women. And these are really sobering stats, and I think it just goes to show that Women in Translation Month, you know, it's been a thing for almost 10 years now, but it's still very much needed.
Absolutely. I've been browsing this and it's absolutely fantastic. And there's so many on the list that I have on my TBR. So, you know, that gives me another thing to go down a rabbit hole and start reading. So excited.
We love a good rabbit hole.
Yeah. So excited for this. But with that, how about you kick us off with our first pick? I have read the book that you're going to discuss and I'm so excited to talk about it. So go ahead.
So this is Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead by Olga Tokarczuk. And this is translated from Polish by Antonia Lloyd-Jones. And the original novel in the original language came out in 2009. And so this is from a Nobel Prize winning author. Olga Tokarczuk is a Polish treasure. She's wonderful. And this book revolves around Janina, who is this curmudgeonly woman living in rural Poland, studying astrology and translating William Blake into Polish and just living her life. But she also has neighbors, and she's not overly fond of them per se. But when one of her neighbors, in fact, one of her least favorite neighbors, she nicknames him Bigfoot, shows up dead, And it's not like he arrives at her door dead, but she finds him with her other neighbor, Oddball, who she's also nicknamed. And she really didn't like him. So while she feels sort of sad that he's dead, because she's, again, curmudgeonly and just very practical, you know, she really didn't like him. And so she's trying to figure out, how is he dead? Did he really choke on this bone from the food he was eating? What happened? And so it's basically her living her life, trying to figure this out. And basically everyone thinks it's an accident. She's not so sure. But then another body shows up. And that's where things kind of really start with the book. And let me tell you, at the end of this book, I was so shocked, not shocked, but like, oh my word, this just happened. And I really liked it. I'm trying to jump around spoilers, but as someone who loves animals, let's just say that I was like, okay, yeah, I can get on board with this.
Yeah. That's a very nice way to go about this. But yes, it was a fantastic read. I appreciate that you're not trying to give a lot of the story, because I think the best way to approach this is not know much about the story. Like, that's all you need to know. Like what Kendra has told you, that's all you need to know. Don't go on Goodreads. Don't start reading reviews, because it's like this, how the story unfolded for me. That was the real, I don't know, like the genius of it. And
yeah,
I feel like it got, like, you need to give it a good 50 pages before it really hooks you. And then you're just like, you're sold. And then what is life? Like, once you finish it, you're just like, you have this blank look on your face of what just happened. It's so good. I read this with a friend. We did this discussion thing. And I still remember this book very vividly. It's very, very good. So yes, I'm very excited that you picked this.
Yeah. And it has a literary bent. And I know some people are, you know, kind of, we'll say, fussy about genre. I am not. I'm like, break down all barriers. But this is really like a literary mystery novel. Mm-hmm. So think Hilary Mantel. What Hilary Mantel did for historical fiction is what Olga Tokarczuk is doing for mystery novels. And this is very much a slow burn. And you just kind of have to sit with it and learn all about the astrology that Danina is very excited about. And I had no idea about any of this information that she was researching. I'm kind of interested, but also I'm a Taurus. So like, very practical. So, you know, here we are. But also she writes letters to the police and they are amazing. And I'm like, this is fantastic. And they don't answer her because they don't believe her about her theories. And then like, it's I don't know, it's great. So just check it out. And oh my goodness, it's fabulous.
Yes. And I think the William Blake, how he is featured into the story, there's an Odessa Moshfegh story. What was her? Death in Her Hands. That book is also sort of I feel like it's an inspired by this book, because it also has similar themes. But that's also mystery suspense, like slow burn, sit with it. Mm-hmm. But then it gets different. Like, but William Blake features in that as well very heavily. But yes, amazing. I co-signed this recommendation. My first pick is The Old Woman with the Knife by Gu Byung Mo. And this is translated by Chi Young Kim. And this, it's a very slim book. I think it's around 170 pages, 180 pages. No, it's actually around 250 pages. Sorry. What is, you know? And this is actually very interesting how I stumbled upon this book. I, you know, when I was prepping for this episode, I went to the library and I said, you know, I'm just going to stumble around the shelves and I'm just going to explore, you know, what works of translation are there? Anything that piques my interest and that seems like it's in this genre. And over there, it was this small, like magenta volume of a book, and with the best cover. Oh, the cover is so good. And I read the first page, and it starts with, you know, the despair that it is sometimes traveling on a subway. And I was, you know, I live in California. We have a train system here, BART, in San Francisco. And I was on that. I travel by that often. And it was just so, like, it wasn't dismissive, but it was also so sharp and like, true, that I was hooked. I immediately borrowed this book. But then this book, what it is actually about, is about this 65-year-old assassin called Hornclaw, who has a small, modest life. She lives in a small apartment with her aging dog. And you know, in any society, there are expectations of people who are like, who cross the threshold of like 60, that, you know, they'll retire, they'll just sort of retreat from society. But Hornclaw has no such, you know, she has no such intentions. She is very much dedicated to what she, like, she is, she's, you know, she's alert, she's agile. And though, like, her physical strength is giving out, her mind stays sharp as ever. And she's, like, involved in the agency that she works for, right? But also she is starting to face that sort of disrespect, disrespect or like the sort of dismissiveness that people have, like younger people have towards old people. And then one day she is injured in the line, like in her, during her job. And she is sent to the physician to, you know, be checked out and everything. And that encounter changes, basically, you know, it takes an unexpected turn of events. And the trajectory of what the story I've told you, it sounds so, I don't know, linear. You're wondering, how can this be a climactic book? Like, how can there be a big what kind of situation? But there is, and it's amazing. And we also learn more about her assassin work. So that's all, like, you know, it's so well written. Like, I mean, they're credit to the translation, of course, but it's like so, it's so intensely readable. It was reminding me of My Sister, the Serial Killer, in the way that in very short, succinct passages, you were like hooked and you were turning the pages to find out what happens next. It's so well done. And I think this is definitely one that you should, and this is, again, this is, it's very much, it has a mystery, it has suspense, but it's also a genre bending in the sense that it's also very much a character study. So it doesn't all become all about a crime. There's not intense procedurals going on, but you definitely, it scratches that mystery suspense itch with the, along with, you know, deeply learning about the character. So that's The Old Woman with the Knife by Gu Byung Mo and translated by Chi Young Kim.
I love older women assassin characters. It's yes. Just there's one, like, what is it, an elderly woman is up to no good.
Yes, I
I love it.
That also has the best cover. That it also does. Has the best. I love it because, you know, it's another, I feel like it's another take on, you know, women defying society's expectations of them. That, you know, I mean, I don't support vigilante, you know, going around killing people, but also at the same time, it's just another take. I also like, yeah, but we do not endorse this method. It was good to throw out that caveat out there. But before we jump to your next pick, which is another I am so excited to hear about, and I know Katie, who is probably driving out there somewhere to her destination of Savannah, is in love with this book. So she'd be very excited to hear you talk about it. But before that, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Tor Books. So if you are a fan of epic fantasy, if you're a fan of Scott Lynch and or Joe Abercrombie, but you want something a little different, you want a hero who's like a bit of a mess, then The Silver Blood Promise by James Logan is for you. In it, Academy dropout / disgraced noble heir Lacan Gordova's life is in shambles. All he's got going for him is, one, he is a card sharp of considerable skill, and two, a lot of, maybe potentially a little too much, wine. So they're, you know, those are the positives. So when the bizarre murder of his father robs him of even the off chance of redemption, Lacan decides to make amends another way. He's going to unravel the mystery behind the killing, even if it takes him to the underbelly of Sophrona, a city of danger, secrets, and merchant princes. Finding the truth is one thing. Finding the truth and staying alive is like a whole other thing. So make sure to check out The Silver Blood Promise by James Logan on sale May 7th. And thanks again to Tor Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden, and thanks again to WW Norton & Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode.
All right, Kendra, what you got?
Well, I am excited that Katie gets to listen to this while she's in my neck of the woods down in the low country. I know so many people are fans of this book, and I really was thinking about like a great intro place to Japanese crime thriller-esque books. And so I picked the one that was a great introduction for me, and that's Out by Natsuo Kirino, and that's translated from Japanese by Steven Snyder. And this originally came out in 1997 in the original Japanese. And this book is about this really, we'll say, odd friend group at this factory that packages up like these prepackaged lunches that people can run in and pick up. And so they like put everything in the little container in a certain order. And there's like this little conveyor belt. And there's a lot of kind of quirky logistics about the politics of who gets what job and spot on the assembly line and all sorts of things. And so you're kind of like reading this book and you're going along through that. And then this woman kills her terrible husband who was violent. And then she's like, oh my word, there's this dead man my husband on the floor. What do I do? And so she goes and talks to her friends and they decide to take care of the body. And that really starts off a wild series of events. I can't really say anything, obviously, because it's, you know, spoilers, but like there's organized crime. There's like all sorts of logistics. You get into the minds of these really weird kind of people who you're like, what are you going to do? And it really looks at a lot of ideas around feminism and women in independence and their interaction with patriarchal structures. And there's so much going on with the book. But when you're reading it, and it's a fairly hefty book, the edition I have is almost 500 pages. You just sit there and you go along for the ride. And I really love that about the book because I had no idea where it was going. And that was such a, I don't want to say joy considering that they're disposing of a body, but it was a very fascinating and kind of exhilarating read for a crime thriller.
Yes, I feel like that's another part of Asian literature that comes across in thrillers is how these, you know, how these institutional structures like the patriarchy sort of holds down, and how usually it's like an act. I'm trying to phrase it in a way that makes sense. But yes, Out. Yes, it's one of the books that's high on my list, but also that is also a lot of graphic. I've heard that it is graphic, right? It is on the graphic side.
Yes. Content warning for body horror. Again, they are disposing of bodies, so that will give you enough information about what kind of body horror we're talking about, but it is not for the squeamish, that is for sure. And I am a wimp when it comes to certain things, so I certainly had to be in the right mood to be able to read this book. So no shame here for, you know, reading what's healthy for you. But when I was in the mindset, it was an excellent crime thriller to read. And I honestly had no idea what was going to happen next. Like, who knows, you know? And I love a book like that.
Yes, I agree. And I, you know, one of these days when I agree with you there, when you're in the right mindset, it seems like it becomes, yes, it becomes easier to process certain triggers and like, you know, move past it to get to the story. So yes, I agree with that. My second book is, again, there are also, again, content warnings for this. It is graphic and it is also harm to children, so tread with caution. But it is People Like Them by Samira Sedira, and this is translated by Lara Wergnod. And this book is basically about, this is about a family, Anna and Constant Guillot. They live with their two daughters in a peaceful remote village, Carmac, in France. And everyone, you know, it's a very small town. Everyone knows each other. And until this family Bakri and Sylvia Longloy, they arrive with their three children, right? And they are people of color. They're people of color. And when they arrive, you know, everyone, it's a small village in France, and everyone is uneasy with, just everyone is just uneasy. It's shown to be a very narrow-minded village. And then one day, there's found dead. The entire family is found dead. And our story is like, it centers on who committed the crime in the town. And then it's not a mystery. I still don't want to mention it, but it's like still, it's mentioned from the get-go. And then you sort of trace it back to why this happened. And this becomes very quickly from this brutal crime to the story of like difference in class, difference in the lack of tolerance that there is to people like outsiders. There's also a lot of like that white mentality, like what happens when that is challenged, you know, when a homogeneity of a town, of a community is challenged, how sometimes it can manifest as very brutal actions, and like how it like moves from being microaggressions to a very aggressive act very quickly. And it's told from the perspective of the wife of the man who commits this crime. And she is also horrified at what has happened. But also, as you know, sort of trace back to the story, there's also this very resounding message of how acts like this don't happen in isolation, how it's sort of, you know, like, but it's still till the very end, the motive becomes clearer and clearer. So it is a heavy, heavy read. It's 192 pages. It is a heavy read, but it's also an important one. Like, if you can stomach it, this is hugely triggering to me, harm to family. I feel like it was very well done. It wasn't, the horror was not too like graphic in the sense where it felt unnecessary. Like, you know, it served the purpose to the story, and that was pretty much it. And in the author's note at the end of the book, Samira Sadira, she says that this is actually based on a true story. It is an act. It's about a homicide that was committed in 2003 in a small town in France, where a family of five was killed. And basically, her telling this story is sort of also, you know, retelling the narrative, because she feels like in that investigation, she used that as her research for this book, and she feels like there was a lot of the color of the family and, you know, their beliefs were glossed over by the police of the region. They did not take those into account when they sort of investigated this case. So she tries to rectify that as well, that, you know, it's not, again, that it's not just one factor, or it's never one person acting in isolation at the spur of a moment. It's usually a very continued system of oppression and aggressions that leads to such horrifying acts. It was very harrowing. It was very bleak, but it was also very, very like well done. So that's People Like Them by Samira Sadira, and this is translated by Lara Wargnott.
I'm very excited. As you're talking about, I'm just adding these books to my TBR. So, I mean, you've sold me on them.
I love that. Like, I usually also, like, when Katie, or like when you were talking about your books, I was like, you know, muting myself, and I was checking my Goodreads. I was like, is this on my Goodreads? Okay, yes, good, it is. But yes, it seems like we can go on with this forever, like a Women in Translation recommendations. But we'll leave the link for you to explore the Women Translation website, get some recommendations. There's some fantastic ones that move beyond the mystery suspense genre as well. So, of course, explore those too. I am also a huge mood reader, so I support reading whatever you fancy at any given time. But with that, let's jump into our new releases. Kendra, why don't you go first? I am super excited for this one. I'm eyeing the audiobook for this one. So yes.
I love Soho Press. So I've had this on my list for a while, and I'm so excited about it. So this is Shudder by Ramona Emerson, who's a Dene writer. And the story follows Rita, and she is a forensic photographer, and she works for the Albuquerque Police Force. She has great photography skills and all of these different things, but the real secret to her success is she can see ghosts of crime victims. And so that really is how she gets into this like crime solving genre, is that she can see these ghosts, and they constantly are badgering her with, you know, wanting to be able to tell their stories. And she really finds that this affects her personal life and just her mental state. And so as she's trying to do this on the Navajo reservation and help solve these crimes, it's also a balance for her own mental health. And so yeah, that's the basic start of this book. And I hope that this turns into a series, because it seems perfect for a series. So I'm going to cross my fingers. But this has been on my list for a while, and I'm so excited that it's finally coming out into the world.
I am too. I got a sneak peek, what are words? I got a sneak peek of the manuscript when this was being done. So it just clicked with me that, oh my God, I'm like, yes, I remember this. I am very excited for this one. The audiobook seems perfect for this. I have it lined up in my Libby. Hopefully I'll get on the, and this came out on August 2nd. So it's ready for you if you want to pick it up, yes, in hardcover, ebook, audiobook. My pick is Kismet by Amina Akhtar, which also is out. It came out August 2nd. And you might have heard Katie and I talk about Amina Akhtar before. She wrote the book Hashtag Fashion Victim, which is basically her expose into the world of the fashion writing industry. I haven't read it. Katie has it. But Kismet, I received a galley of this one, and it is a very interesting book. It's basically about lifelong New Yorker Ronnie Khan, who thought she would never leave New York. And she's never been, you know, she's never been sort of like aim high, dream big person. She does what she has to do when she goes along with life, until she meets the socialite wellness guru Marley Dewhurst. And for Ronnie, Marley is just not someone, you know, who just has these big illusions of what life should be like. She's a revelation. So she's seduced by the fever dream of finding her best self, and she just packs up everything and makes for the desert mountains of Sedona, Arizona. So and you know, she's fully in it. There's healing yoga, there's transcendent hikes, there's epic juice cleanses, and she, like, Ronnie feels like, you know, she could get used to this existence. But then she also feels this sense of unease of, like, you know, like, is it really this what she thinks? Like, is it this? How can it be this perfect? Or, you know, how can she, like, she has this, she starts getting these doubts of this whole organ, like this whole community that Marley has created of, you know, this self-care business. And it seems just like a little too perfect. Like, everyone is a little, it's sort of like, you know, drinking like the Kool-Aid. Like, everyone is just very on board with it to an extent that it doesn't seem possible. Like, how can a group of people have such unanimous opinions about something? And then she goes on a hike. This is me sort of like plugging in the plot here. But basically, when she goes on one of these hikes, she finds a brutal murder has occurred. And that is one of the gurus, the wellness gurus, and it starts happening all around town. And then basically Ronnie realizes that all is not well in wellness town. And as Marley's blind ambition sort of veers into like this high, unchecked sort of mission, she starts to fear for her life. And now, I mean, there's this part of the story going on, but what Amina Akhtar, I feel like, is really good at, she's made Ronnie very not sarcastic, but she's very blunt inside her head, because we're listening to the story from inside her head. And she sort of like, she also captures the microaggressions that she faces in this small community, and it's a lot more than meets the surface. So yes, and also the crime scenes are a little gruesome, so tread with caution, but they are not described over and over again. They're sort of, once you move past the situation, you're done with them. But it was very good, it's very readable, and you will also, on your next hike, you will be a little more careful. So that's another thing. And black crows are part of the story, and we have black crows all the time around outside our house. So I did not look at them the same for a while. I like to give that warning. So, like, I don't know if you read White Smoke by Tiffany D. Jackson. What that book did for bed bugs, this book did for crows, for me. So that is also, like, if you have crows around you, be careful when you read this.
that is a very good heads up. And I did not know that about bed bugs and White Smoke. So I am.
Yes.
I can't do bugs.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, you never think like you're going to be sensitive about certain random things, but then you are and you're like, man, like what is happening?
Who knew, right? Like I felt that about Cackle by Rachel Harrison. Like there was in one of the Goodreads reviews, there was this trigger warning of like, if you're like sensitive to spiders, like spider appearances, then I was like, I've never thought of it that way. Like, you know, like, am I sensitive to spider appearances in a book I'm reading? Like, I don't want a spider crawling into my book, but like, what's going on? So like, I feel like as I'm getting older, the trigger warnings are becoming very oddly specific. So I like to throw that out there that, you know, like if black rose is not your jam, proceed with caution.
My husband hates spiders with the burning fiery passion of a thousand suns, so I'm sure he is the exact person that the spider content warning is for.
I definitely appreciate it. I went in with care, like I went in with caution, and it wasn't too bad. It wasn't like, if you're thinking of reading that book, it was delightful. It was so over the top. But yeah, but I agree. Like, you know, very specific trigger warnings is what we need now. But with that, that is our show. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you so much, Kendra, it was fantastic having you. Thank you to our sound editor, Jen Zink, who always makes us sound great. For show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations, bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you want to send an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at readordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Javed Nesra. That's JavedNusraH.
And you can find me, Kendra Winchester, on Instagram and Twitter at KD Winchester. That's K as in kite, D as in Dylan Winchester.
And we will talk to you all next time. Happy reading!